Hey, last week we started a series of lessons from really a phrase and something I read concerning what Billy Graham had said. A little quick thought. We'll give it to you again today. But what Billy Graham talked about was seven gifts that God gives. Seven gifts, we're calling it, that God gives. And we want to just read this quote here from Billy Graham. If you weren't with us last week, we kind of didn't get very far last week, so we're going to pick it up and we're going to go from there. But Billy Graham said that. How many of y'all ever heard of Billy Graham? Anybody ever not heard of Billy Graham? Cool. So we're all kind of on the same page here. Billy Graham is a man that's 97 years old, and he is really a evangelist, and he's gone all around the United States and around the world preaching about Jesus. He, before preaching in stadiums was popular, he'd hold major events in baseball stadiums and football stadiums and venues, and he's just phenomenal. Well, he's still alive, and thank God that he's nearing the end of his life. But he said this, I thought it was noteworthy, and we kind of talked about it a little bit last week, and we'll be here this week and the following weeks kind of finishing up this series. Seven gifts that God gives you when you commit your life to Christ. He said, number one, a new relationship, a new citizenship, a new family, a new purpose, a new power, a new destiny, and a new journey. Last week we began talking and kind of just opening this, if you will, kind of just getting into some of these thoughts. And so if you weren't here with us, we'll just kind of do a little quick review, or maybe in the first service it was a long review. And we'll get you back on pace and get you up on speed, because it's interesting sometimes when even I'm teaching, it's good to kind of go back and hear again what you already heard sometimes. So the first thing that Billy Graham says, the minute you give your life to Jesus Christ, you get to enter into this thing called a new relationship. A new relationship. And I want to read you, some of what I read will be on the screen behind me. But there's a gentleman, a pastor, he's a Presbyterian pastor by the name of R.C. Sproul. And he said something I thought was so appropriate just concerning this new relationship. And we want to talk about it again, this paragraph. So listen carefully. He says that there were appropriate forms of addresses that were used by people in the Old Testament, and the Jewish children were trained to address God in proper phrases of respect. All these titles were memorized, and the term Father was not among them. Notice on the screen. The first Jewish rabbi to call God Father directly was Jesus of Nazareth. It was a radical departure from tradition. And in fact, in every recorded prayer we have from the lips of Jesus, except one, he calls God, quote, Father. It was for this reason that many of Jesus' enemies sought to destroy him. He assumed to have this intimate personal relationship with the sovereign God of heaven and the creator of all things. And he dared to speak in such intimate terms with God. Notice, what's even more radical is that Jesus says to his people, when you pray, you say, quote, our Father. He has given us the right and privilege to come into the presence of the majesty of God and address him as Father, because he is indeed our Father. Notice this, he has adopted us into his family and made us co-heirs with his only begotten Son. That last phrase that's on the screen behind me, listen, if you don't hear anything else today, I wish you'd write this down. I wish you'd take a picture of this. I wish this would be embedded in your thinking and in the consciousness of your heart today and forever, that God has adopted you into his family. You are adopted. You are now a co-heir with Jesus Christ, based not on anything you have done other than simply making Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, where you say, I surrender my entire life to you. And God says, I surrender and I give my entire life to you. What a great exchange for us. Seemingly, what a terrible exchange for him. But that's exactly why he came. That's exactly why he died. That's exactly why he wants us to be back in a relationship with him. That now we have a loving, kind, generous, benevolent, giving, compassionate, forgiving, merciful, faithful, unrelenting, pursuing God, called not only God, but called Father. We've got the ability to talk to Him, not as a distant God, not as the God who made the universe, although He did. Not as the one who knows the end from the beginning, although He is. Not as the one who's going to judge the world, although He will. We can know Him as Father. Guys, that is amazing. So much so that even in the New Testament, we've got a guy named Philip walking with Jesus for years. And towards the end of Jesus' life on the earth, towards the end of His ministry, Philip just simply says, you know, Jesus is talking to him, and Philip says, Jesus, just show us who the Father is. Just show us who He is. And Jesus said this, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. If you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. So much so now that we can say Jesus is the exact representation of who the Father is and what the Father would do. Who the Father is and what the Father would say. So if you want to know who God is, you've only got to know God. And the only way you can know God is through the Son, through Jesus Christ. God the Father is not judgmental and not critical and not demeaning and not nasty and not finger pointing and not trying to bash you on the head. On the contrary, we cannot find that ever in Matthew, in Mark, in Luke or John. The Father is merciful. The Father is longing. The Father is compassionate. The Father's heart is open. The Father is searching. The Father is wanting to include. The Father is blessing, because we see that in the life of Jesus. The only people that were ever on the short end of the stick with Jesus were the religious people. The religious people who looked down at others, who put others aside, who thought they were better than others. So much so that we've got a guy who comes to prayer and a guy's beating his chest saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And we have a religious Pharisee over here who looks at this guy and is talking to God the prayer saying, I'm glad I'm not like this guy. I fast twice a week. I give my tithes. I do all this stuff. I serve You. I'm glad I'm not like him. God, Jesus said, this man who beat his chest, his prayers were heard, and that man's prayers were not heard. Listen, we have the ability, because of a new relationship with Jesus Christ, the minute you say yes to Jesus, you have the ability to know God, not as a distant God, but as a loving, heavenly Father. It's amazing. It's amazing. So much so now that we see the progression from the New Testament, because the Bible is a progressive revelation. So you just can't stay in the stories in the Old Testament. You just can't read about Noah's Ark and just can't read about David and Goliath and just can't read about Jericho and walls. You just can't stay there. You got to keep reading over here the New Testament, because the New Testament is going to show you more and more about who Jesus is and more and more in the New Testament who you are because of Jesus. And so we find out that the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans says, hey, now listen to me. Oh, you don't have to only talk to Him as God. And thank God He is your Father. But even more intimate than Father, He is called Abba Father, or Dad. Dad. Can you imagine the audacity that the God of heaven says, I want to have a relationship with you, and I don't want you to come into the relationship with me. I mean, maybe this is appropriate sometimes, so forgive me for offending anybody. But God says, generally, I don't want you coming into my relationship on your knees, begging, crawling up the stairs, having blood on your knees. That's never acceptable, where you have to kind of have penance before you come into God. You don't do that with your natural family. Why would you ever do that with a loving, generous, kind, benevolent Father? Never. Never. We always lived away from, since we got married, just about, Pastor Kimberly and I, from my natural family, her natural family. And, you know, with ministry being here, and we lived in Canada for 13 years. And so we were away from her family. And Never when, you know, we would ever get back, Kimberly with her family or me with my family. It was never like, you know, come, hey, you know, you get back and no awkward. No awkward. My dad would be, hey, right? Hey, come on, bring in the luggage. Come on, back up in the bedroom. Yeah, here's the bedroom. Hey, whatever's in the house, you have access to. You don't have to ask me if you can open the fridge. You got access to the fridge. You don't have to ask me if you can turn on the TV. You got control of the TV. Unless I'm watching TV. Come on, somebody. Whoever owns the buttons is in control of the buttons. Come on. And in my house, that's always me. Anyway, that's a whole other thing I'm working on. Anyway. But it was never, I'm away and we're back and like, okay, how's this relationship? The relationship is always my father, natural father, loved me, cared for me, was praying for me all the time. He knew Jesus. He's in heaven now. Knew Jesus, still knows Jesus. Praying for me. So when we're together, there's no distance, there's no weirdness. Now listen, maybe you weren't raised in that. Maybe your dad was critical and condemning and judgmental. And I'm very sorry for that you were raised in that kind of environment. But that is not the way it is now. You have access of a new relationship with God the Father, who is now your dad. I know of a pastor, I don't know him personally, I just know of him because he was speaking along these lines, that his father was a very noted pastor who pioneered several churches and actually started a network of churches where there's hundreds that look to him as a pastor. And sad to say that he died very young, in his mid-50s. And the son followed along in his dad's footsteps. The son, before the senior died, the son just loved his dad, and he had a sister, and they both had a great relationship, and the son was always connected with the dad, and so he just kind of followed in his footsteps, and he went to Bible college, and then he, when he got out of Bible college, he came back to the church and started working in the church, serving the church, and wound up becoming a youth pastor, and then you know, doing adult ministries and single ministries, etc., and becoming his associate, and the church was growing, and the son's responsibilities were growing as that was happening, and the son said that his own words, as he then was growing as a young man, met his future wife, got married, moved out of the house, lived in the same community, of course, and was always kind of around, you know, the dad and his mom and other relationships, but he said every single day, me and my dad talked on the phone. Every single day, not a day went by, he said, until the day he died, that we didn't talk on the phone. He was very much interested in everything I was doing. He was asking me about everything going on with me and my wife and the kids, the grandkids, and the ministry. And very much interested in what God was talking to me about. And very much interested in what I was directed towards and what God had been putting on my heart. He was very concerned with every aspect of my life. Just like God the Father. I just can't stress it enough, guys. My relationship is different than yours. And I came from a home where my mom and dad were married in 1957. And they were, they lived pure and clean. And they were married to each other until my dad died in 2001. They didn't know anybody else. And they never had any attraction. And there was home that was connected and a home that the family was intact. Doesn't mean a perfect family by any means. We all had our issues. But what we saw God working, and we could believe God, and we could see God work, and we could hear God, and was raised in an environment in a church like this. And so let me encourage you, whatever your relationship is and has been with your natural father, make sure you do not bring that old thought, an old relic, an old darkness into this relationship now with your new heavenly Father. You have the access to have a new relationship with God. Amen. Thank God for a new relationship. Thank God for that. Billy Graham said, secondly, what we have access to is we have access to a new citizenship. A new citizenship. We talked just a little bit about this last week, and let's just camp a few more moments here. We doing all right, everybody? Everybody okay? Good. All three of you. Thank you very much for your enthusiasm. That's okay. No, I'm just messing with you this morning. That's okay. What we talked about last week, and we just want to touch on it again, is when I talk about your new citizenship, really we're going to use this phrase, and we'll kind of break it down a little bit if you're unfamiliar with this, is that your identity as a Christian now, and when I say a Christian, I say a believer, this all synonymous in my mind, that your identity is now, quote, in Christ. In Christ. You're going to see a phrase when you start reading Romans and 1st, 2nd, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, what the Bible calls as epistles. Those are the epistles. Those are letters written to the church. Letters written to the church don't mean to Spectrum Church, the building. It says you are the church. So they're letters that are written to you and me specifically, we could say, from the heart of God. And man wrote them. A man wrote them. Paul wrote most of them. We see James wrote one. John wrote several. Peter wrote some. Jude wrote some. You can see that. But these epistles are letters that were written to the church concerning now who you and I are in Christ. You'll see that phrase 130 to 160 times in Christ, in whom, in Him, throughout the New Testament, throughout the epistles. And that is telling you now, okay, I got to be thinking now. It says this is who I am now. I'm in Christ. So when I'm born again, I can't just be identified. My citizenship is not just identified with a white man, a black man, a Asian man, a Latino man, an African man, a European man. I'm no longer just a womb man. I'm no longer just a man. I'm not just a rich man. I'm just not a minimum wage man. I'm just not a millionaire man. I'm not identified with anything else. I'm identified as being in Christ. Because when I'm in Christ, you're in Christ. The minute you make Jesus the Lord of your life, whether you realize that or not, when you're in Christ, it changes everything. It gives you access to everything that now belongs to you through His death, burial, and now resurrection. Because what we find is that Jesus just wasn't raised for Himself. Jesus was raised for you. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians, it says that He made you alive together in Christ. He raised you up together in Christ. He made you sit together with Him in Christ. So now, I get it. You're here in Chula Vista. You live in National City. You live in South San Diego. I get it. You live in a two-bedroom, two-bath. I get it. You got rent and you got a job. I get all that stuff. But as far as where you are positionally, the minute you make Jesus the Lord of your life, He puts you now in Christ. So I'm here, but I'm not just here. I'm also there. There gives me my authority. There gives me my rights. There gives me my responsibility. There gives me my privilege. Come on, everybody. So I'm here, but I'm there also. And I'm not next to Christ. You are in Christ. How close to God the Father are you? God the Father, and at His right hand, Jesus Christ is sitting, ruling and reigning. And guess where you is? You is, can I say it? Come on, you is in Christ. Come on, everybody. Come on, everybody. That's why Paul says crazy stuff like, you have the mind of Christ. Why is that? Because you's in Him. So I can think His thoughts through the Word. I can, come on, come on. if God the Father's here and Jesus is here, he doesn't have to yell very much for me to hear him. Just think with me. Come on, think with me. Now the Holy Spirit, the minute you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, so work with me. God the Father, work with me. Now, this is going to be, I'm going to say it, but I can't break it down to say it, but I'm going to say it, and maybe you don't tip on it, you just kind of chew on it. God the Father doesn't live in you. Jesus doesn't live in you. The Holy Spirit lives in you, who reveals to you God the Father and God the Spirit. Or excuse me, God the Father and God the Son. So, the Holy Spirit's job is to show you and tell you who Jesus is and what he's done for you, and to reveal the love of the Father and his purpose and his plan for your life. You're in Christ. In Christ changes everything. It changes everything. So we said this about citizenship is that, you know, when I go to different places and I go to different countries, my job, I don't know how you think or whatever, but I've never been to Europe. But if I go to Europe, I'm going to buy some European clothes. If I go to Mexico, if I go south to Mexico and I'm going to hang out down in Cabo, come on, I'm buying some flip-flops. I'm buying a sombrero. Come on, somebody. I'm going to fit in. I'm going to buy one of those straw hats. I mean, I'm just telling you, I'm going to buy a straw hat. I'm going to fit in. I'm going to get me a fake bake. I'm going to get brown. Come on, somebody. This white guy is going tan. That's what I'm talking about. Can I just encourage you? Since you have a new citizenship, you have access to act like a citizen of the place from which you are from, which is heaven. You have access to that. You don't have to be, as the Bible says in the New Testament, you don't have to be a foreigner. You don't have to be a stranger. You've got access to the rights and privileges of this place called heaven. You're a citizen of heaven. Come on, citizens have privileges, don't they? Come on, they have privileges. You know, when you go to Mexico, and if you are a citizen of the United States, those dudes at the border, as tough as they are, and I'm glad they're tough, they have to let you back in if you've got an American passport. They have to. They let you back in. Unless you've done something crazy. They let you back in. You've got access to everything heaven has granted. And as citizens of countries, one thing that always goes along with citizenship, there's lots of things, but we just talked specifically about one last week, I think, and we'll bring it up again, is that citizens always have culture that they deal with, they live in, the culture of the place they live in, but they all have speaking. They all have a language that they speak. And even in our culture, in our citizenship, in our country of the United States, even let's we say that the predominant language, of course, is English, but all across our country, in different pockets of our country, there's different dialects of that language. They speak a little bit differently. And so listen to me. You cannot be a citizen of this country called heaven and still speak just English language. English meaning I need to speak the language of heaven. I have access to speaking along the lines not of death, not of hate, not of lack, not of worry, not of fear, not of racial prejudice. I can speak a new language because I am a citizen of another country. So people ought to know there's something different about this dude. Because I just don't talk like everybody else. And so when people are losing their mind and they're saying cray-cray stuff and they look at you and you ain't losing your mind and you're just kind of, let's say it this way, you're speaking to the storm. What kind of man are you? That's what they said about Jesus. Remember that? What kind of man is this? We've never seen such power and authority. Listen to me. That's not just for the man, Jesus. That's for the God man and God woman, you. Because you are a citizen of another country. And the same authority that was in him is now in you. Now listen, this has just got to be so real and so predominant and so strong in you. It just can't be something you kind of tiptoe around. We looked at a scripture last week that Jesus said in the book of Matthew. He said, listen, when you hear the word of God, if you just hear it and don't act on it, you're building your house on the sand. But he said, you know the scripture. He said, if you hear the word and you act on it, you're building your house on the rock. Everybody heard the word. But the only difference between the house standing and the house falling was when the storms came, the person that heard the word and acted on the word of God built their house on a strong foundation. And that foundation was Christ. It was and it is Christ. But not only was and is Christ, but now when the push comes to shove, you and me in our life, we have to not only know something, but we've got to do something. We've got to act on the Word of God. So the first thing we should be asking ourselves consistently, whenever anything comes in our life that is contrary to what the Word of God says, our antenna ought to go up, if you will. Our spiritual antenna, well, come on, the bars on our phone ought to start going off. We ought to have a little vibration on our phone. You know, something's amiss here. That doesn't sound like God. We ought to be able to stand up and declare what God says. Because we're a citizen of a different country, of a different country. And Jesus said this in Matthew's gospel. We looked at it from the Message translation in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. He said, these words I speak to you, he said, these aren't incidental additions to your life, homeowner improvements as you can standard of living. He says, they're foundational words, words to build a life on. He said, you just can't tiptoe around here and just kind of like hang in a little picture here. No, you've got to work these words in the entire fabric of your life. So your Christianity can't be a Sunday thing, can't be a casual thing. It's got to be an everyday challenging thing where you say, Lord, deal with every single area of my life. A couple weeks ago, I don't know how long ago it's been, maybe it's been 10 days ago now, maybe 8 days ago, came home or noticed something in the house. I don't know if he told you this or not, but we got a built-in refrigerator kind of thing, and then we've got a little island, and then did I tell you all this before? No? Okay. Anyway, and we've got wood on the floor, and all of a sudden, Pastor Kimberly's over there, kind of with a piece of wood, and it's bowed up. The wood's bowed up, and she's like, what's up with that? And so Taylor, little baby, she was over. She tripped her foot a couple times. So we just said, well, I've got to get somebody to figure this thing out. And so she put some masking tape just so the kids wouldn't trip over it and stuff like that until we figure out what's going on. Well, she lifted up the masking tape after a little while, and the masking tape was wet. And go, what? Wet? What's up? And so we followed the trail. It's wet here, and we followed it back. And doggone it, we look under the fridge. The fridge is, it's just, water's coming out under the fridge. It's like, oh my gosh, we got a leak. We got a leak. And so the leak had been gone for who knows what else. Anyway, and it had come underneath the floor, and some of the floor is starting to bow up. And so we had to call the guy and the Sears guy and come out and order a part, shut off the water and all that kind of stuff and fix the problem. Fix the problem. So many of us just want to fix the floor without fixing the problem. I could have dug up, pulled up wood. If I didn't fix the problem, I'd still be having drips. You and I, the minute you make Jesus the Lord of your life, hear me now, it doesn't mean a pain-free, challenge-free, uncontested life. It doesn't mean that. But it does mean you have now the power to turn off the water of the past, of your flesh. Come on, you can turn off the water of the devil's attack in your mind. You got the power. So, this new citizenship about you and I now being in Christ, it changes everything. So we see where how Jesus lived. And maybe you were raised that you were in church and rightfully so, that what Jesus did was amazing, and it was, and it is. And so please don't disconnect from me right now. But what Jesus did that was amazing and was unbelievable, I mean, it's believable, you understand my words, it's like, wow, how did he walk on the water? How did he speak to the storm? How did he raise the dead? And yet he himself, God the Father, living in Jesus, Jesus living in God the Father, showing us who the Father is, says stuff like this: what I've done, you do. And also, greater things than these will you do, because I'm going to the Father. Where did that come from? Guess what he expects from us as citizens of a new place? Doing his works and greater works cumulatively, because there's more of us. Come on, somebody. Come on, there's more of us. Come on, y'all, you live out there? Come on, there's more of us. Jesus, one person, one spot. Now there's bazillions of us everywhere. Come on, should be holy terrors to the devil. We're citizens of a new place. So let's look at just a few in Christ scriptures that you need to have ready in your life. And I would encourage you to meditate on these consistently, because they will continually breathe and breed new revelation, new light, new insight into who you really are. The first one, notice on the screen, is 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Notice this. Come on, let's read it out loud since we're in church. Let's make the devil nervous. Come on, 1, 2, 3, read. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, there's the phrase, is in Christ. If anyone, rich, poor, whatever ethnicity you are, young, old, you don't know nothing. Today's your first day in church in 10 years. If you make Jesus the Lord of your life, he says you get to be in Christ. Wow. He is a new creation. Not one day going to be. Not if you know the Bible, if you can quote all 66 books of the Bible. Not if you just happen to know John 3:16. Not if you say the right prayer. The minute you ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life, that you repent, you change your mind, you change your direction, he says you are right now a new creation. A new kind of being never before existed. You're not the old person cleaned up. Come on, you're not the same car just with new tires. Come on, you're not the old house with new carpet. You are a brand new house. Come on, somebody. You're a brand new car. Come on, you trade in your Volkswagen, you got a Caddy with a lean on it. Come on, somebody. Come on, you know that those six-way, come on, you got the 12-way power seats. And you got a lean. You're a new creation. Notice this. All things. Come on, read it with me. 1, 2, 3. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Notice all things. Your old life passed away. So I can't identify with the druggie. I can't identify with the alcohol boy. I can't identify with the skirt chaser. I can't identify with the defamer with my mouth. I don't identify with the stealer. I don't identify with the gangbanger. I don't identify with the luster. I don't identify with the gossiper. It's what I used to be. But now, I am new. Come on, I'm new. Come on, you're new. And you're in Christ. Old things passed away. How many know old things just passing away is good news? That's just good news. Old thing, if that was all it was, that's good news. Old things just passed away. Let's have a funeral for old things. Come on. Let's have a funeral for some old things. old thoughts, old habits, old longings. Old. Anybody like us at our house, come on, anybody go through your closet and you go, why the heck are we still hanging on that stuff? Come on, those crazy clothes ain't coming back. Not in our lifetime. They're old. They used to be cool. I used to think they're hip. They ain't hip no more. I used to think it was right. They ain't right no more. You wear those and people are going to go, hey. Come on, leisure suits were out in the 70s, bruh. Come on, remember leisure suits? I had a baby blue one, man. I was smacking. Yeah, I did. Baby blue, man. Come on, I look like a robin egg, let me tell you. Easter, hear me coming, I'm telling you. Old things passed away. Come on, where are they passed away? Come on, passed away. Now notice this word right here. It's a crazy word. Behold. 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 Come on, I mean, stop. Draw your attention. Gaze. Stare. Behold. Look at it. Behold. Man, all things have become new. I'm not that guy anymore. I'm not that girl anymore. I'm not that, I don't need to talk that way anymore. I'm new. So yeah, I stumble. Yeah, I mess up. Yeah, I jack up. Yeah, I did that. But that's not, T.D. Jakes said something great. You might have done what they said you did, but you're not who they say you are. Yeah, I stumbled. Yeah, but I repented. I got back on right. Come on, I'm back right with God. Old things, they passed away. I might have tripped my foot a couple times, but I'm not going to stay down and keep staying tripped up. I'm going to figure out, why does that thing keep tripping me up? Why does it keep... I'm going to find out more and more who I am. Who I am. We had a dog. I've only had two dogs in my life since we've been married. Pastor Kimberly wants a dog, probably another dog. She wants a little dog. I'm going to buy her a dog. She says no. I'm going to buy her a lap dog or something, I think. I saw one of the little cute dogs the other day. I thought, yeah, anyway. Okay, so our last dog we had, he died too early. He was a Labrador Retriever, Kodiak. He was a great guy, chocolate lab. Amazing dog, loved me, followed me around. I trained him, as much as I could. Anyway, he was a great, great dog. But, you know, Labrador Retrievers, if you know them, they're water dogs. And so they're bred to, be in the water and go after ducks. And guys would shoot them when they're trained, and then they'd go get the duck. And so, you know, me as a guy, if you know me a little bit. Maybe some of you know me better. But I'm just a little bit of ornery in me. I'm a middle child. And so I always like to press the, have fun. And so we got the dog, and so he's 8 weeks old, and we had him. And so we had a pool at the house at the time, and I had a Kodiak in the backyard, and I was just testing him. And so I put Kodiak above the water. I said, Kodiak, I just had him above the water. He's 8 weeks old, and little Kodiak, he's looking at me like, oh, okay. And he's not in the water yet, but guess what? His paws are going like this. He's going, this crazy white man, my new owner, he's getting ready to put me in the water. And so guess what? His nature on the inside of his citizenship, called Labrador Retriever, says, I am bred to swim. I'm bred to swim. Because I'm a citizenship. My citizenship is in the kingdom of Labrador. Any situation you find yourself in, you have access to win because greater is he who's in you than he who's in the world. But you must totally identify. Identify. That's who I am. That's what your word says. That's your purpose and your plan. And so now, when my body says, be fearful, withdraw, be negative, be critical, be damning, speak hurt, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, go after him. But that's not who I am. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. So I realize more and more the citizen of where I'm from and my new identification. If any man is in Christ, he, she is a new kind of person, a new creation. Old things passed away. All things. Come on, somebody yell, all things. Become new. Everything becomes new. Let's go a couple more. That same chapter, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. Verse 21 says this. For he, God, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He, God, made Jesus to be sin for us. He, God, made Jesus to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So what are you going to do with that scripture? What are you going to do with that? It says the minute you make Jesus the Lord of your life, he doesn't look at you as a sinner anymore. He looks at you as righteous. So if the Father, Dad, God, looks at you and says, I placed all your sin forever, your sin nature, and any sin you could ever do on Christ, and I see you now as right before me. You do yourself and others a great disservice if you don't see yourself that way. Now he says, you're right with me solely based upon the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Good news. Good news. Galatians 2:20. Another great scripture says, I have been crucified with Christ. Notice, past tense, I have been. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Let me ask you, when did this happen? This happened the moment you made Jesus the Lord of your life. That now you, your citizenship, your identity changes from I to Christ. It's not just me in the flesh. It's now I have been crucified. My passion, my desire, my want, my ambition, my dream. I'm crucified with Christ. It is no longer just I who live, but now Christ is living, breathing, moving, active, energizing, strengthening me. And I'm living not by my flesh, by my longings and my desires and my wanting and my needing acceptance and my being a people pleaser. I'm living by faith in the Son of God because he loved me. Come on, everybody. Gave himself for me. Amazing, amazing, amazing scriptures. So who are you identified with? Who are you identified with? I despise, I could say it this way, going to the doctor. And you go to the doctor and you got to fill out those 20 pages. Come on, somebody. I love doctors and nurses, but they got to fill out those 20 pages. And they want to know not only your history, but they want to know everybody in your family's history. And so they would say, like, you know, years ago, I'm 56, so years ago I had to get my first colonoscopy. Ouch. So there you go. They want to know everything. They want to know, is there cancer in the family line? And is there blood disease in the family line? And is there heart failure in the family line? And is there na-na-na-na-na-na? And so when they do it, they always go, oh, you know, if it was there, it's going to be right there in you. But in Christ. All things are passed away. All things have become new. So now I've got to completely identify with my new citizenship. Because everything, even in my body sometimes, even in my mind, even in the attack of the enemy, tries to say, old things haven't passed away. This is really who you are. Get used to the real you, the old you. You got to fight that. You got to stand against that with the authority of God's word, because you can be who God's created you to be, and you can do what God's created you to do. And you don't have to stay limited and wanting and lacking and live an inferior life, whatever that might be. You can fulfill the purpose and the plan of God regardless of what it looks like right now, regardless of every negative word, every critical word, every word that someone's spoken to you that's demeaned you, demanded something from you, put you down, negated every dream in your life. You can relinquish that. You can say, that's not who God the Father is to me, and I'm going to believe Him, and I'm going to believe His word, and I am going to fulfill the purpose and the plan that He has for my life, because I have a new relationship with the Father, and I am a citizen of another country called heaven. So I'm going to align my thinking different. I'm going to expect different. I'm going to speak different. I'm going to look different. I'm going to dress different. On the outside, the inside, whatever that means to you, I'm going to start believing something different in my life. I'm going to hope different. I'm going to pray different. I'm going to love different. I'm going to be a God man or a God woman, because that's what you're designed to be. Don't let the design be less than what you're designed to be. Know what belongs to you and be well versed in it, and you'll find yourself making unbelievable strides for your life and for the kingdom of God. And that's all the time we have today. Come on, stand up. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You today for the Word of God. I thank You today for all these amazing people coming today to hear the Word of God and just to worship You. Father, wherever we're at in our journey with You, I pray today that we're just taking steps and moving closer together towards You. Those that know You, Father, I pray that they're being challenged to leave off things that maybe have been hindering them and have grown in hindrances. Those that don't know You, maybe are beginning a relationship with You. Maybe it's like the analogy of a child. That, Father, they're beginning to crawl and they're beginning to walk. And so, Father, we pray for them that regardless of what's going on in their life right now, we want to hold them up specifically. Every young person in our church, not age-wise, but spiritual-wise, we hold them up, oh God. Let them see You. Let them walk and not be weary. Let them run and not faint, oh God. We pray, oh God, today that thank You for just this new relationship that we can have with You. I pray that we would know You as Father more and more, more intimately know You. And I pray those, Father God, that are here that are struggling with citizenship, identity, Lord God, that You'd show them who they really are. They're people of God, they're men of God, a woman of God, children of God, heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus. Everything that belongs to Jesus belongs to every child of God. It's amazing. That's why it's called grace. Unmerited, unearned, undeserved. Wow. Come on, would you do this with me? Just lift a hand to the Lord. Let's just do that. If you're comfortable with that, just come on, in your own words, just say thank You for that. Come on, just thank You for that. Thank You for a new relationship. Thank You for new citizenship, new identity. Thank You. Come on, just 15 seconds right there. Come on, what's He saying to you? Come on, what's He saying to you? That new relationship, that new identity. What are you struggling with? Lord, I just let that go. I let that thought, I let that fear go. I'm going to let that worry go, that negativity. I'm going to let that comparison go. I'm going to find myself in you. Thank you. Thank you for that today. Work in our lives this week, oh God. We surrender the week to you. Very first day of the week, Sunday, we gave to you. Make the rest of the week go smooth. Take the boulders out of the way. Make the crooked places straight. Valleys raised, mountains brought down low. Put people across our path that we can speak to and be a blessing. We love you today, Father, in Jesus' name. Come on, can you say amen and amen? Wow, prayer partners are going to be up here. You guys are amazing. We can pray with you about anything. We'd love to. It's going to be a great, great week.